Okay, today's daf is Chulin Ayin Vav. We're going to just finish up the bottom. We were discussing this machloket between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri about whether a ben pekua is, according to Chachamim, as soon as it gets its feet, again, according to Chachamim, the way Rav Kahana understood Tanakama in the Mishnah was that as soon as it puts its legs on the ground and starts to walk, it's no longer a ben pekua because we're worried that people will see you eating this animal without shechita. And according to Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, it's fine. A ben pekua is a ben pekua, even, right, he said, even after 5 years, and he's cholesh. And then there was a discussion about whether it's even ad sof kol, like his ben and ben beno, ad sof kol adorot, or is it just who, right, Rabbi Yochanan said, hu mutar ubeno asur, and then they tried to say, oh, look, Rabbi Yochanan says like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, doesn't it show he paskins like him? And then they said, no, he could be just saying, according to Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, he would only be referring to the ben pekua himself and not the son, but not that he was even saying that that's how we paskin. And then we ended with, didn't Rabin Bar Chanina, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Chanina, halachak Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, and that was the first thing, but didn't he say the halachas like him? And don't we say komakom shishina Rabbi Shimon Shizuri mishnatenu halacha kemoto, right? Which would then imply that the halacha would be that way. And then, so that this is all in support of Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. And the knockout basically is amarle ana ki hasfirale. Okay, we're about 9 lines from the bottom. Da amar Rabbi Yonatan halacha Rabbi Shimon Shizuri b'mesukan ubetruma maaser shel demai. We only hold the Rabbi Shimon Shizuri in 2 Mishnayot, not in everywhere. What are these 2 cases? Mesukan detnan barishana hayu amrim hayotze bekolar va'amru kituget liishti hare'il lichtavu v'yitnu. Somebody says, write a get to my wife. That's not enough to give her the get because he only said, write the get. He didn't say, give it to my wife, which could mean that he meant, write the get, and when I get around to it, I will decide whether or not I want to give it to her. But in this case, he's about to be killed by the Romans. That's the kolar. It was the way they would execute people. And he's about to be killed. And he says, right, to get to my wife. Right, the assumption is, what's the issue? He doesn't want her to fall to Yibum. So he says, kitvu get nishti. So the assumption is, elu yichtavu v'yitnu. By the way, I thought about this. I didn't look it up. But if the whole issue is Yibum, what if it's not a case where she's chayav in Yibum? Do we still assume that he's doing it for that reason, right? In other words, we'll see. There's some cases where it's not connected to Yibum, and then it would be obviously across the board. But I wonder if the whole issue is that we're concerned that he's worried she's going to fall to Yibum, to his brother. He doesn't want that to happen. Maybe if that's not relevant, then that wouldn't be the case. I don't know. But the assumption is he meant to say Ketvuv it's new, but he was all worked up and he didn't. Chazru Lomar, that was Barishona. But eventually they said, you know what, we're going to extend this halacha to other cases. Which this would be relevant no matter what. This is someone who's going on a trip and he's worried maybe he won't come back. And then there's a concern that she'll be stuck, she'll be in Aguna because they won't know if he's missing, if he died. And therefore, in even those cases where you're going, mefaresh is layam and yotze b'shayara as you're going on travel by foot, you know, by shayara, by caravan. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, here he adds, Af HaMisukan, also someone on their deathbed, someone who's very sick, again, what?
Like a Shechit Merah.
Right, like a Shechit Merah. And he basically says, right again to my wife, again, avoiding Yibum. So the first case and the last case are avoiding Yibum. This middle case is not. In any case, that's where we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri.
Are there lots of, I'm curious about this difference between every single case and only 2. How many times do we have halacha Shimon Shizuri that maybe he only has, say, 3?
That's a good question, right?
Like, what percentage of the time does he show up?
It's a great answer. It's a great question, right? I mean, I don't remember seeing him so often, so it's a very good question. But it's easy. You can go research it, you know, very easily online these days. Okay. Truma Maaser Shel Demai. Ditnan, okay, let's go through some terminology. Demai is suffix. Whether someone took masrot from it, means you got it from an Am Haaretz, and you don't know, did he take, normally he's trusted about truma, but he's not trusted about masrot, and then once there's masrot, there's truma maser. Okay, we'll see what's the difference between maser and truma maser. We'll see in a minute why they're dafka talking about truma maser. Truma maser is the truma you take from the maser. A tenth of the maser that goes to the levy goes to the kohen. So if you have these fruits that came from an Am Haaretz, so you have to take Trumot and Masrot Misafik. You can't trust the Am Haaretz. However, if it's Shabbat, if there's nothing you can do to fix it, you can't take Truma Masrot on Shabbat, we allow you to question him and ask him, did you take Truma Masrot? And if he says yes, we actually believe him.
Why can't we always question him? Why is that a Shabbat?
Because we don't trust him. If you can fix it, we don't trust him 100%. So if it can be fixed, so then you fix it. If it's Shabbat and you can't fix it, so then we allow you to ask him. So now we're going to come up with another case, according to Rav Shimon Shizuri, that you can also ask him and we can trust him, even though it's not Shabbat. Trumat maser shel demai shechazra limkoma. You had this fruit you got from the Am Haaretz. You separated trumat maser. Now what's the difference between maser and trumat maser? The maser itself doesn't bother us because it doesn't mess anything up. But if you separate trumat maser, that goes to the Kohen and it has kedusha to it. So if it falls back into the mixture, you now have this mixture of truma and chulim, right? Maser doesn't have that same status. So you now mix up the stuff. You have this truma stuck in the thing that's going to mess up the entire thing. So Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says, "Af bechol sho alova achlo al piv." Even if it's a Yom Chol and it's not Shabbat, since your whole pile is messed up and there's no way to fix it, we can ask him and trust him. So both these cases, notice he's Mekel in both these cases, just like in the Bet Pekua. So you can see why they might not want to paskin like him all over the place. But okay. Mishnah. Behema shenechtechu, that would be another thing to research, by the way, is he always Mekel? Okay. Behema shenechtechu raglaha, we're back to trefot. Okay, you thought we finished trefot, we're back to trefot. If you remember, we had this case, a behema, because they quoted it from here, a behema shenechtechu raglaha min ha'arkuva ulamata kshera, min ha'arkuva ulamala psula. Okay, so now we're going to have to define what's the arkuva. Okay, the arkuva is generally the joints in between the leg bones. So the question is, okay, there's three, we have two parts to our legs, right? The thigh and the shins, the bottom part. So we would have, let's say, two arkuvot. An animal actually has three bones there. Okay, you can see there's all sorts of pictures.
It's a joint, we have one and they have two. We have one joint.
Right, we have one joint and they have two
three
joints.
Bones and we have
right, they have three bones and two joints. Okay, so now I'm trying to find a picture here. I have a good picture. Where is it here? Okay, yeah, you have one there too. Okay, so there's the bottom, they call the metatarsus. Then there's where they converge at the joint. Then there's the tibia, is the upper, the middle part. And then there's the femur, which is the upper part above the knee. Okay, they kind of have like a long foot. That's why it's called the metatarsus, like by us also. That's on our foot. They have this very long foot that looks kind of like a leg. And then the top part leads to the pelvic bone.
Really interesting. Tarsus is what we call our ankle.
Mm, okay.
So it's the same idea.
Right.
Tarsus is the ikuva et tachtana.
Right, exactly. Okay, so let's say nechtchu ragla mina arkuva ulamata kshera. So if it's the lower part, it's going to be okay. We're going to see exactly where. We're going to talk about this. Mina arkuva ulamala, above that point, it's going to be psula, because the assumption is it's a trefa at that point. By the way, why is this here? We'll see in a minute. V'chein shenital tzomet hagidim, and likewise, which we learned this also, if you tear out the tzomet hagidim, which we'll talk about exactly where that is, right? That's where the sinews converge. Nishbar ha'etzem, if the bone breaks, okay, meaning it's not cut, but it's broken. Imrov habasar kayam, if most of the basar is still intact, and it's still with the etzem, right, the meat that's covering the bone. Shchitato mitaharto. Okay, now what's this? This is basically the Eivar HaMidoldal, right? You kind of have this broken bone, so it's broken, but it's not totally cut off. So that's why it seems like it's coming here, connected with the Eivar that was hanging off. So the Shchita is mitaher, the bone. You can eat that part of the leg, okay, if most of the basar is still there. It's on the Aruch HaShulchan, he said that the assumption is if rov basar is still there, then the bone will actually, it'll go back to its place, it'll kind of heal itself. Vim lav, but if most of the basar is not kayam, ein shchitato mitarto, then the shchita doesn't allow you to eat that bone. Okay? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Rabbi Chia, Lemata, so here's the first explanation what this lemata min arkuva and lemala min arkuva is. Lemata, lemata min arkuva, lemala, lemala min arkuva. When it says lemata min arkuva, lemala min arkuva, means we're talking about one joint, and it's either above the joint is a problem, below the joint is not a problem. Now, still that didn't help us. Be'ezo arkuva amru. Arkuva hanim keret im arosh. Okay, this doesn't really help us, but thankfully the Rishonim do. What does it mean? It's the arkuva, and as he's telling them, it's the one that gets sold when they sell the head. They sell this joint along with it. Okay, I'm not exactly sure how you eat joints, but I don't know. But it means basically the joint that they sell along with the head, which is the bottom joint. Okay, it's the one that leads to, you know, what we said a minute ago was like the foot bone in ours, but it's really more like a leg-like thing in the animal. So that's what they're talking about. So again, anything below that is going to be fine. Anything above that joint, if you cut it, it's going to be a trefa. Ula Amar Rabbi Yoshaya kinegdo begamal nikar. Okay, what does this mean? This means that if you look in the, it's a good picture here, yeah, in the Shattenstein, they have a good picture, also in the Koran, if you have that one, that there's basically this, what he's talking about is the upper joint, okay? And right below the upper joint, there's this space that apparently is exposed. And that's what it means, kinegdo begamal nikar. It's exposed. I didn't look in this, you know, in camels. I don't know so much about it, but it sounds like it's exposed right there. That's what it means, begamal nikar. And that's the arkuva we're talking about. So meaning he puts it at a higher spot, which means he's more mekel, because if it gets cut below that joint, it's going to be kasher. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, it was going to be pasul, right? As long as it's above the bottom joint, it's going to be a problem. Amar le Ula le Rav Yehuda. So now Ula is going to question Rav Yehuda. Bishlama le didi. Now, the assumption is that Somat Hagidim is in the middle part, okay? Which is right in between those two opinions, okay? So here comes Ula. He says to Rav Yehuda, Bishlama le didi, mine makes sense. Da amina kenegdo begamal nikar. Hainu dekatane v'chen shenital Somat Hagidim. Basically, right, we have these two, right? There's one arkuva, two arkuvot, right? And that goes up. So now, if you say we're talking about above the top one, right, which is really above the middle limb of the leg, that's going to be pasul, and the tzomet hagidim is below that, then it means like this, very simply. If you're above this point, it's a problem. If you're below this point, it's only a problem if you cut it right at the tzomet hagidim. Anywhere else, it's going to be fine. But now you can see where he's going with this. Because ela lididach, according to you though, my v'chein shenital tzomet hagidim. Right? What does he mean to, right? What's the problem? He already said anywhere above the bottom joint is a problem. Which the tzomet hagidim is above the bottom joint. So it's already a problem. So what's the difference if you cut it specifically where the tzomet hagidim was or you cut it anywhere? Anywhere is going to be a problem. So amar leh, Rekuva below Tzomet Hagidim, v'Tzomet Hagidim below Rekuva. He says you can have a case where the Rekuva means Arkuva, where the Arkuva could be cut without it cutting Tzomet Hagidim. Okay, that I get. You cut it somewhere along the middle there where it's not Tzomet Hagidim. But this is going to be a little more problematic. He says there's a way you could take out the Tzomet Hagidim without cutting above the Arkuva. Okay? That somehow you could... Right? Now, it does say v'shchein shenitlu tzomet hagidim, they're ripped out, it's not exactly cut. Sounds a little weird. Anyway, he says, that doesn't make so much sense, though, because v'han nechtechu katane. It says, behemashin nechtechu ragla min arkuva ulamata. So basically, it doesn't sound like what you're saying could possibly be right, that there really could be a case of rekuva below tzomet hagidim and tzomet hagidim below rekuva. Ishtik, Rav Yehuda was silent. However, libatar dinafik, this very often happens, right? After he walked out of the room, Amar, he said, oh, should have said this, right? My time alo amrele, why didn't I say that I could have explained the mission differently? Lemata means lemata min arkuva. Lemala, lemala mitzomet hagidim. When the Mishnah says, right, again, what did the Mishnah say? Min arkuva ulamata kshera, min arkuva ulamala psula. What he meant to say is, if you cut it below the bottom joint, it's going to be fine. And if you cut it from the Tzomet Hagidim Ulamala, it's going to be a problem. I could have said that. But then he said, Hadar Amar, v'lo Amrele. It's good I didn't say anything, because this actually isn't such a good answer. Because what? Hadar Amar, v'lo. Amrele, before I said, my first answer, va'amar li nechtechu katani, and he said, well, that doesn't match the wording in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says nechtechu. Hachanami, likewise, if I would have said this one, he would have said it also doesn't match the wording in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, mina arkuva ulamata katani, and it doesn't say mitzomet hagigim ulamala. So therefore, it wasn't such a great answer. Okay, so Rav Yehuda's answer here becomes a little problematic. Comes Rav Papa, and he says, I have a different version of what Rav Yehuda actually said, okay? Rav Papa matnehachi. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chia, lemata, lemata mina arkuva umitzomet hagidim. Lemata means below the arkuva and the tzomet hagidim, right? Assuming the tzomet hagidim is a little higher up. So really, that's the cutoff point. Okay, so even though it doesn't say tzomet hagidim, at least you can connect it with the arkuva and the tzomet hagidim. Lemala, lemala mina arkuva umitzomet hagidim. And lemala means above the arkuva and above the tzomet hagidim. V'chein shenital tzomet hagidim. So then what do you do with the words v'chein shenital tzomet hagidim? In other words, already kind of it's obvious. Either it's lamata and it's not a problem, or it's lamala and it is a problem. V'arkuva, lamala min arkuva umitzomet hagidim. V'chein shenital tzomet hagidim. Sorry, this is also, and shenital tzomet hagidim could work. And then arkuva gufa kidu'ula. When he talks about the arkuva means, when he talks about lamala min arkuva umitzomet hagidim, he means the higher arkuva. Okay, so just one second. Right, what he's saying is like the, that's why. The words mitzomet hagidim in the second thing shouldn't really be there. That's why I got confused. Okay, some people take out those words. Let me go back. He says like this. Lemata, okay, so now the Mishnah again says, there's lemata min arkuva and there's lemala min arkuva. Until now we assume it was the same arkuva we were talking about. What he's going to say is, lemata means lemata min arkuva mitzomet hagidim, which means basically anywhere under the tzomet hagidim and below, which includes the arkuva taktoni. And then there's the arkuva ulamala, which is the upper arkuva. Okay, that he says like ula. Okay, so now what he basically doesn't really talk about is the whole middle bone, right? It gives, you know, the lower limitation, upper limitation, but the middle is kind of missing here. Okay, so then what he's basically saying is, if you're in the middle, it just depends if you hit the tzomet hagidim or not. Okay, so for sure, the bottom part is safe. The upper part is not safe. The middle part, it depends where you cut it. If you cut it at tzomet hagidim, that's why he says, then v'chein shenital tzomet hagidim. If you cut the tzomet hagidim, it's a problem. But if you're anywhere else in that middle bone, it's not a problem. And then his definition of arkuva is like ula. Now this is basically the same as ula. It's just the way he reads the Mishnah is different. Follow? He says the same thing, because Ula also says, as long as it's below the top bone, it's fine, right? That whole, unless you hit tzomet hagidim. So they say the same thing. It's just a matter of how he reads the words into the Mishnah, because he thinks the arkuva, the rishona, is the arkuva lamata, and the arkuva, the second one, is lamala, whereas Ula thinks the whole arkuva they're talking about is the upper one. Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, umi'i kamidi di'ilu medale pasik lavachaya, mitate pasik la umeta. He says, but I understand. How could you have it that if you're going to cut the bone at a higher, right? Remember, the tzomet hagidim is, let's say, somewhere in the middle of this bone. Okay? If you now, let me take a look at tzomet hagidim. If you now cut above that, it's going to live. But if you cut there, it's not going to live. How could that be? It doesn't make any sense. Because what's his assumption? The higher up you get, the more you're going to cause the animal to die. So what's our answer? We've had this answer already twice before. Amar Rav Ashi, trefo kamedade lahadade. You're comparing different breaks in the cuts in the leg, you know, different places. Ein omrim betrefo zo dome lezo, shari chotcha mikan umeta, chotcha mikan v'chaya. Remember this famous statement, right? What did he say? It all depends where you cut it. Yes, it's not a matter of is it higher on the leg or lower on the leg. If you cut it exactly where all the sinews meet up, then yes, you're going to kill the animal. If you cut it a little higher than that and you miss that part, you're actually not going to kill the animal. So yes, does make sense. Okay, now we're going to get to what exactly is tzomet hagidim. Elu hein tzomet hagidim. Rava amar Rav Ashi, da agrama ulevar. Okay, this means that it's where you... Let's see a picture here. Okay. It's... Here's a picture of the bones, okay? The bones... Okay, the bones are here. Then there's this bone. There's the sinews come out of the bone. And then as it... Right, where the arkuva is. And as it goes higher... It kind of, the sinews go into the meaty part of the animal, right? They start close to the bone, and then they go to the meaty part of the animal. So we're going to have a three-way debate about where, or maybe it's even four opinions, about where exactly it is. So first they say it's agrama ulavar, which means it's where they're already off the bone. The var means outside. They're outside the bone already. It's a higher spot where the sinews start to break off, but they're already off the bone. So you can see from this picture, it's a very good picture, right? The sinews already are going off the bone, okay? Meaning they're already going into the flesh. So it's higher up. Do you follow? Because they converge right above the bone, and then they start going up into the meat, right? A bone is, right, where the bottom of the bone is, there's always no meat, or very little meat, right? And then as it goes up, there's more meat. So that's the first opinion. Rabba Barbar Huna Amarav Amarav Ashi. Actually, this is weird. It shouldn't be Rav Ashi, right? It doesn't make any sense. There's notes here. Amarav Ashi Nimchak Milat Ashi, right? Some people say it should be Rav Asi. Okay, that makes more sense because Rav Ashi obviously came later than all these people. So Rabba Amarav Asi De Agramar Lavar. Rabba Barav Huna said in the name of Rav Asi De Agramar Lagayo, which, or Lagav. I don't know how to pronounce this word, or Lagav. Different ways of pronouncing it. But anyway, what does it mean? It means when it's lower down, when it's still on the bone, okay? So it's just adjacent to the bone. Lego means right next to it, okay? It's adjacent to the bone, meaning a little above the bone. Rabba bereja rabba barafuna amar ravasi de'ilave arkuma. It's above the arkuma bone, okay? Right above it, which seems to be a little bit above, adjacent to the bone, I guess. A little bit below, right? It's kind of on the bone, like just above the bone. Yativ, that's the third opinion. Now we're going to see a fourth opinion. Yativ ahumei rabbanan kamei rabbi Abba, v'yativ ka'amar d'arkuma gufa. The bone itself is already considered the tzomet hagidim. Okay, if you cut it on the bone. Okay, so we basically have, let's start from the last one. The bone, right above the bone, right next to the bone, and further up where the sinews are already going into the flesh. Amarle Rabbi Abba, so when this Hahume Rabbanan, the last one, came before Rabbi Abba and said this, Rabbi Abba said, Lo titzitule, don't listen to this opinion, because Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda, Hecha depare tabache. It's where the tabachim, okay, think about it, when they cut the bones, right, you cut right in between the bones there, right, or it's the place where he cuts the bones, okay, we're going to see, it's not the arkuma gufa, it's going to be right above it. V'hainu, rabba bereja rabba barav huna amar rav asi. It matches Rava's opinion who said it's the ilave arkuma, it's right above the bone, because that's where the butchers cut. Amar, so that's basically supporting the third opinion. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tzomet Hagidim Sha'amru, this is a great explanation, right? The first thing you learn in class, never define something using the words itself, right? Tzomet Hagidim Sha'amru, Makom Sha'agidim Tzomtim. Okay? It's from where they branch off. Thank you very much. I already knew that. What exactly you're saying? Okay, so it's not exactly clear. Some people say that what they mean is they're following, right, this is where the butchers split it open. It's right above the bones, and that's where they start. Maybe that's what they mean.
This is like when they go out to find out what sailors do, looking right at real life.
It's right,
like,
okay, this is where the butchers cut, that means, right, reality. Right. Yeah. Although I don't know if where the butchers cut, does that mean that's where the sinews come out of, or is he just defining it by, you know, let's define it in, there's two ways. Either the butchers know, and that's where they cut, because they cut right where the sinews, or
they cut because that's where you're supposed to cut because of kashrut.
No. Well, they cut once it's dead. So that's not relevant. Or it's like Mematai Karina Chma Baravim, and they say Mishasha Konim Nechasim Lechobatramatan. They're just using an example to explain it. In other words, since we don't know exactly where the places are in the meat, they're talking bones, we don't understand that language. They just, like they didn't have clocks to know the exact time, they defined it based on times that people knew. Or they defined it in ways that people would understand. So they said, you want to know? Oh, it's exactly where the butcher's cut. Now you know where it is. Not that that's necessarily correlated, but in terms of that's the reason why they cut there, but it's a way that you'll remember and you'll know exactly what we're referring to. So there's two options there. Okay, so now they want to know va'ad kama. Okay, but now the assumption is it's not just that one space. The Soma Hagidim goes up further than that spot. So it's from there to where? Right, that was the bottom part we were discussing, but now how high does it go? Amalei Ahu Rabbanam v'Rav Yaakov Shmei. Some rabbi said, oh, and his name happens to be Rav Yaakov. Ki Avina be Rav Yehuda, when I was at Rav Yehuda's house, Amar Lan, he told us, Shimu Mane Milta Demigavra Rabba Shmele. Go here, I want you to tell you this thing, listen to what I have to say, that I heard this from a great person, Umanu, and who is this? Shmuel, right? Classic that Rav Yehuda says something in the name of Shmuel. Usually he doesn't say it like this with this intro. Tzomet Hagidim Shamru, Makom Shagidim Tzomtimbo, Umi Makom Shetzomtin, Ad Makom Shemitpashtim. Okay, so he defines it a little better, right? It's from where they branch out until the part where they start spreading into the flesh.
Isn't he a doctor, Shmuel?
He was, yes.
It makes sense that he
right, he understood better how these things work. Amar Abaye, so now Abaye wants to tell us, okay, right, later generation, he says, well, that doesn't help us so much. I need to know more definitively. He gives us a shi'ur, classic, right? We're going to give it in finger breaths. Arba'a bitidei b'torah. Okay? In an ox, it's going to be four fingers' breadth. That's the amount of space that the Tzomet Hagidim is, right? Classic that, right, in the beginning they define things in words and in actuality, and later the rabbis had to give it a shiur because people needed something very defined.
It also strikes me as a way of getting more specific, like time. I mean, it may not be.
Right, like time also.
As opposed to defining it in words, they're defining it as opposed to something relatively.
Yes,
stable.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is very common as to how things developed.
But animals are all different.
Ah, yes, yes. So, right. So they're going to give big animals and small animals. So obviously they ask, okay, that's helpful. You told us about an ox, bidaka, what about a small animal? Mai. Amar Abaye, belite habutzomet hagidim. Belie lo habutzomet hagidim. If they're jutting out, then you know that's where Tzomet Hagidim is. Once it's absorbed inside, which makes sense, right? Because by the bone, you'll notice them because there's nothing else there. You'll notice them coming out. Once they get into the flesh and the meat, you're not going to see it anymore. Then that's already beyond Tzomet Hagidim. And he's going to give a few other simanim. Ashune havut Tzomet Hagidim. If they're hard, that's where Tzomet Hagidim is. The sinews are hard. Rikiche, right, once they get into the flesh, they already soften. Lo havut Tzomet Hagidim. Alime havut Tzomet Hagidim. If they're, how do we define alime here? If they're thick, it's Tzomet Hagidim. Katine, if they're thin, lo havut Tzomet Hagidim. Already they thin out as they get higher. Chivare, they're white, havut Tzomet Hagidim. Lo chivare, lo havut Tzomet Hagidim. If they're not white anymore, then they're not Tzomet Hagidim. Mar Baravashi Amar Kevan Dezige, if they're translucent, Afagav de lo chivare, it's still Tzomet Hagidim, okay? In other words, white or translucent, he's basically saying. Amar Amemar Mishmei Jerav Zvid. Tlata chute hava. There's three chutim, okay? These sinews are made up of three different strands or stringy-like things. Chara lima utre katine. One is thick and two are thin. Ifsik alima, if the big one gets cut, okay, so now the question is, what is it? Okay, until now we defined this, the area. What space are we talking about where Tzomet Hagidim is? Now we're going to define, what does it mean, b'chein she'nital? What is considered nital? Do you have to cut the entire thing, right? Usually, it's not the entire thing. Usually we go by rove. If rove of it is cut, then it's a problem. So what's going to be rove? So he says, well, since there's one thick and two thin, if you cut the thick one, Azda Rov Binyan. You're already missing, if you put them all together, you're already missing more than half of its thickness. Ifsik Katine, if you cut the two thinner ones, even though they're not as big as the thick one, Azda Rov Binyan. You're missing two out of three. That's also considered Rov. If you like that logic, we're going to see in a minute the opposite. Mar Rav Ashi Matne Lekula. Okay, so basically what's he saying? You cut the thick one, you lost it. It's a trefa. You cut two thin ones, you lost it. It's a trefa. Either which way it's viewed as rov. Mar Rav Ashi comes and says, no, I learned this the exact opposite, that we use this rov minyan, lekula. How so? Ifsik alima, haika rov minyan. If you cut the thick one, you still have majority of the animal intact because you still have two, even though they're not as thick as the thicker one. If sakatine, if you cut the two, ha'ikaro binyan, you still have the thick one which covers most of the space. So you're okay. So there's a debate about whether we use this lekula or lechuma. Be'ofot, in birds, shitzar chute havu, there's 16 chutim. Okay, not three, one thick and two thin. There's 16 altogether. Ipasik chav minayu, treifa. If one of those is cut, it already makes it a treifa. Amar mar baravashi, okay, just like he was mekel here, he's going to be mekel again. Hava kamina kameda abba, I was in front of my father. Va'aitu lekame ofa, they brought him an oaf, ubadak, and he checked it. Ve'eshkach bechamesar, and he found 15, so it should be a treifa, right? Havachad dehavu shane mechavre, but he saw one that looked a little different than the others. Nafte, he kind of punctured it or opened it up. Ve'eshkach tre, and it turned out that 15th one was actually two. So he realized that there really are 16 and it wasn't cut and it's kasher. He was machshir. So he's basically saying, he's not exactly mekel, he still says if it doesn't have 16, but he says you have to check because maybe it really is 16 and it just looks like less. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Soma tagidim shamru. So now that we're talking about soma tagidim, birubo. Okay, it has to be rov to be cut that would make it a problem. My rubo, what do we mean rov? Rov echad mehem. Okay, the majority of one of them. Right, what does this mean here? I guess this means...
It's not to make the animal treifa.
Right, that's different than the rov minyan and the rov binyan, right? This would disagree with that, I guess? No, I guess, right, it just means you have to, right, this is a different case. It's not necessarily where it was the three in the row. It just says it has to be rov. So now they said, right, rov echad mehem.
Maybe they're asking whether it's not cut
through. Right, he's saying even if you, I guess this would disagree with what we said before, because even if it's the majority of one of them, that would already make it a problem. We're back to animals, by the way. Ki amarita kamei de Shmuel, amarli, right, so I guess this is right. This is disagreeing. This is just if you have rov of one of the simanim, that's enough. But when I said this in front of Shmuel, in other words, Rav Yehuda said this in the name of Rav. When I said this in front of Shmuel, amarli, he said to me, michte tlata havu, since there's three, ki mifsacha minayu legamre ha'ika tre. Right, so it sounds like, right, this matches what we said before, which is, rove of one shouldn't make the difference. It shouldn't make it a treifa because you still have two left. Now, what are we going to infer from what Shmuel said? Tama diika tre. Haleka tre lo. But that's only because there's three. But if you didn't have, no, because there's still two remaining. If you didn't have the two remaining, it sounds like it wouldn't be good. Upliga de Rabbanai. But this goes against Rabbanai, Da'amar Rabbanai, Amar Shmuel. Rabbanai said in the name of Shmuel something different. Somet Hagidim, Afilu Lonish Tayar Ba'ela Kechuta Sarbal Kshera. He said, according to Rabbanai, Shmuel said, Rov is not a problem. He said, as long as you have a little bit left, like a chuta sarbal, which is a chut, a string that they would use to close the neckline of a cloak. Okay, so something that thickness would still make it kshera. In other words, it's the opposite. It's saying as long as something of it of significance is still intact, rov does not make it a treifa. V'ika da'amre, some people say when they ask the question, my rubo, they didn't say rov shalachat mehem, they said rov kol echad ve'echad. Okay, what he meant was, right, you need rov of all three. Ki amarita kamei de Shmuel, amarle, when I said this in front of Shmuel, because remember, that was what he said in the name of Rav. Yehuda came and said this in front of Shmuel in the name of Rav. He said to him, Amarli, Michte tlata havu ha'ika tlata de kol chav echad misayale. So he's once Michte tlata havu ha'ika tlata de kol chav echad. So he's saying since there's three, right, there, tlata means one third. There's still one third of each, and that should be enough to make it okay. Now this supports exactly what Rabbanai said in the name of Shmuel. In this case, Shmuel, right, with Rabbi Yehuda saying Shmuel said is consistent with Rabbanai said. So as long as you have a third of one of them, or even this, right, the thickness of this cloak, it's enough. So basically, according to this, Shmuel is very meikel in terms of saying, right, as long as some part of the Tzomet Hagidim is still intact, it's fine. Okay, now we're moving to Nishbar Ha'etzem. Okay, the Mishnah said, going back to the Mishnah, if Nishbar Ha'etzem, im rov habasar kayam, shchitato mitarto. This is like the Eber Medoldal, it's kind of broken. If the rov basar is kayam, the shchitato, then you shech the animal, even though it's broken off, since it's not fully broken and most of the flesh is still there. And as I quoted, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that this means that it will probably mend itself, so it's still considered part of the animal. Then, when you shech the animal, that piece of meat can be eaten. Vim lav, but if not, ein shchitata mitarta. Okay, if you don't have rov of the meat around the bone, and it's just a bone broken without meat on it, already we're going to view that as separate from the animal, which means that when you shech the animal, that piece of meat, or whatever, right, if they're assuming there's some meat on it, some right at some other point, some part of it that has meat, that's going to be treif. It's not going to be kasher to be eaten. Okay. So now we're going to get into this case. Amarav. Lemala mina arkuva. Okay, so now, we're going to go back to our arkuva. Okay, so let's take a picture. Forget about someone who's eating right now. We're done with that. We have the arkuva lamata and the arkuva lamala. Okay, so comes Rav and he says, lemala mina arkuva, above the arkuva bone, im rov habasar kayam, ze veze mutar, vim lav, ze veze asur. Okay, so he says, if you're above that, the arkuva, just one second. Right, we're assuming here that we're talking about the arkuva tachtona. It's not so clear. But let's just assume we're talking about the arkuva tachtona. So comes Rav and he says like this. Above the arkuva, we're going to look at it like this. If it's broken above the arkuva, im rov habasar kayam, zevezem mutar. If most, right, the bone is broken. Remember, this is different from the first case in the Mishnah where it was actually cut entirely. Here, it's just broken. If most of the basar is still there, then zevezem mutar. The beima is not a treifa, okay? Even though it's above the arkuva. But the meat is also, the bone, right, that broke off, that's broken, is also allowed. Vim lav, but if it doesn't have rov basar, zevezem asur. Then we're going to view this break as if it's a treifa, okay? Which means both the animal can't be eaten and the bone can't be eaten.
It's so interesting, I think, because it also, like, when a human breaks a bone, if the bone is protruding through the flesh,
yeah,
it's very, very dangerous. Infection, you can die.
Uh-huh.
So it's probably similar.
Right.
Like, the animal
makes
can
sense.
Die.
Right. Well, that's the whole issue, right?
Yeah.
At what point, where is there a break that will cause the animal to die? That was what they were, right.
Yeah.
Lemata min arkuvam rov basar kayam. Okay, love. Sorry. Oh, okay. So now lemata min arkuva. What if it's the lower part? So im rov basar kayam zev ze mutar. Vim lav. Now we get to an interesting one. Aver asur ubehema muteret. Okay. If it's below, since below doesn't cause the animal to die, that's the assumption. Therefore, the behema will be mutar, even though there isn't rov basar on the bone. But that bone is considered Eber Menachai, right? It's broken, and it's asur. Shmuel Amar, Bein Lamala, Bein Lamata, it doesn't matter, Lamala, Lamata, Im Rova Basar Kayam Zeveze Mutar, Vim Lav Eber Asur Behema Muteret. Okay, so now, he says it doesn't matter where it happens. If the Rov Basar is Kayam, then everything's Mutar. And if not, the Eber is Asur and the Behema is Muteret. So what's the big difference between them? Lemala min arkuva. In the upper part, Rav says, if ein rov basar, what did he say? Ze veze asur. Right? And Shmuel said, in ein rov basar, the eber is asur, but the behema is muter, even above the arkuva, because he doesn't view this break as a break that will kill the animal. Matkif la Rav Nachman l'Shmuel. Yomru Eber mimenu mutal ba'ashpa u'muteret? How could you have a case where the Eber is asur and the Behema is muteret? People are going to say, if we throw the Eber in the garbage, and yet you're going to say That's not matra for the animal? The behemah is muteret? So, now, the question was on Shmuel. Now, that's strange, because Rav also said Eber Asur Behemah Muteret, just in a different case, right? He said Lamata Min Arkuvah. So, that's going to be the first question. Amalei Rabacha Bar Rafuna L'Rav Nachman. His question then says, L'Rav Nami Yomru Eber Mimene Mutal Bashpa Muteret in Lamata Min Arkuvah, because Rav had that same mixed combination of Eber Asur Behemah Muteret. Amalei Hachi Kamina. He said, no, but this is what I meant to say. Eber Shechaya Mimena, an Eber where its life is dependent on it, above the Arkuva, how could you say Eber Mimena Mutal Bashpa Muteret? So it didn't bother me when it happened on the lower part of the leg, because in the lower part of the leg, everyone knows that doesn't cause the animal to die. But the upper part of the leg, when it causes the animal to die, how could you possibly make that distinction? Shalchumitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael, Hilchata Kapatei to Rav. The halacha is like Rav. Hador Shalchu, but then they sent back again, Kavatei de Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel, there was a bit of a back and forth. Hador Shalchu, they went back and again they sent from Eretz Yisrael saying, Kavatei de Rav, it's like Rav, Ve'ever Atzmo Mitame B'Masa. Okay, the Ever itself is Mitame Chomet Nevela. Okay, right, it's like Ever Menachai. Matib Rav Chista says, wait a minute. What does the Mishnah say? Remember it was a Braita we quoted a few days ago. The Braita says, remember the discussion Rabbi Meir Chachamim with the Aver that's coming out of the body and you shech the mother, right? And the Aver is sticking out and what's the status of it? And is it mitami to mitavela? Or does the Shechita mitaher midei nevela? So one of the arguments was this. Lo, im tihara shechita trefa ota, if the shechita can be metaher, a behemah trefa, ve'et ha'ever ha'midoldal ba, right? Davar shegufa titar. Et ha'ubar davar she'ena gufa. I read this the wrong last time. Et ha'ever ha'midoldal ba davar shegufa. In other words, I could see that the shechita of that animal could prevent the animal from becoming a trefa, right? From having tumah nevela, even, right? Remember, it's shechting a trefa animal. And the Eber Amidol Dalba, it can prevent it from becoming a Tumat Nevela. But that's Davar Shegufa. That's because you're shechting that actual animal. But Eta Ubar, Davar Titareta Ubar She'ena Gufa. But you can't say that it's going to be Metaher, this Eber. This is Rabbi Meir's approach, right? The Eber that's sticking out is Metame Mishum Nevela. You can't say, just because it works in that case, it'll work in this case, because this isn't, right? The Ubar isn't part of the goof of what you're shechting. So now, what do you see from here? That everyone agrees that it's mitaher the Eber Hamidul Dalba. So how can you say that, right? How can you say that Eber Atmo Mitame B'Masa, that it's Tameh, the Shechita should be mitaher the Eber from being a Nevela, from being Eber Menachai, which means it has Tumah Nevela. So Amalei Rabba, Hadure Ifrechu Lamalach, Otiv Mimatnitin. Rabbi says, not that I disagree with you, Rav Chista, I just think, why did you bring it from some out there Braita? Bring it from a Mishnah. There's a great question from a Mishnah that we also saw the other day. The Mishnah was talking about the Basar and the Eber Hamidoldal. You had Basar hanging out and you had Eber Hamidoldal hanging out. Nishchita behema hukhshiru bedameha. Remember, they'll be mukhshar lekabel tuma by the blood of the Shechita. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo hukhshiru. They're not hukhshar lekabel tumah. But notice, everybody agrees that what? They're not mitame tumah nevela, because otherwise they'd be mitame immediately, right? They'd have tumah on them. You wouldn't need to say, well, they're hukhshar lekabel tumah, and then if tumah gets on them, they'll become tameh. They'll already be tameh. So therefore, it's clear from here that they don't have tumah. So he says, right, that would have been a better question. So Rav Chista says, oh no, I didn't ask that question because Amarlei, Manita Itka L'dichuye K'didachin. And if you remember, we understood that Mishnah, that maybe it's not talking about the Aver at all. Maybe it's just talking about the Basar, and there was Basar that was hanging from the body, and Basar that was hanging from an Aver. And it wasn't actually talking about the Aver at all, and therefore, since you could explain the Mishnah away that way, I wanted to ask from the Braita, which can't be explained in any other way. Kisal, and in the end, we don't have a question to Rav Chista's, we don't have an answer to Rav Chista's question. Kisalik Rabbi Zera, Eshkachela Rabbi Yirmiya, De Yatavaka Amalela Hashmata. When Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rabbi Yirmiya that was saying this halacha of Rav. Amarle Yaisher, he says, great, you know, good you're saying this. Bechein Tirgama Ar Yochshe Bebavel. And this is just like the Aryeh in Bavel also says it like this. So now they say, Ar Yochmane, who's the great lion in Babel? Wouldn't it be Shmuel? V'ha miflag pali, doesn't Shmuel disagree with Rav? Isn't that the whole machloke? So what are the answer? Hadrabe Shmuel agabe de Rav. Okay, Shmuel actually disagreed with Rav. Okay, I'm sorry. Shmuel actually retracted his statement and agreed with Rav. Okay, so they don't actually disagree ultimately. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Nishbar ha'etzem v'yatza l'chutz. If the etzem breaks and it's jutting out, now this is what you were talking about, Shari. If the bone is jutting out, that's already very dangerous. Im ur u'basar chofin et rubo, if the flesh and the skin is covering the majority of it, mutar. Vim lav asur. And if it's not covering the majority of it, then it's asur. Vikama rubo, and how much is rov? Kiata ravdimi. I think, by the way, this is where the Aruch HaShulchan says it. That in this case, if it's covering the rov, then it will reheal itself. Kiata ravdimi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rov of yo. They say it has to cover the majority of its the thickness of it. Va'amrela, in other words, like where it's cut, right? Kind of over the covering. Va'amrela rov hekefo. Rov around it, the circumference of the bone. Amara Papa, this is typical for Rav Papa, Hilkach be'ina rov of yo, be'ina rov hekefo. Rav Papa is always the one who says, we have this, we have that, put them both together. In this case, it's Machmir. He's saying you need the rov of both in order to say the animal's going to be okay. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and we'll talk more about the or and the basar, and whether they're mitzterei or not.